Good morning. We begin to celebrate the season of Advent, and the lyre leaves will help us light the Advent candle.
Let us pray together what is printed for us in the bulletin. O God,
we thank you that Jesus brought hope into our world. By the good news of the Bible, you are still bringing hope to people. May we be ready to help welcome Jesus Christ so that we may think good thoughts and do good deeds that offer hope to this world in which we live today. Welcome to our service of worship this morning on this rainy December day, which I don't know you personally, but I like rainy nights and rainy mornings for sleeping, and we needed the water. Announcements today, immediately after church, there will be the first lunch and Advent event. Everyone is invited. On this Saturday, Room at the Inn begins. Next Sunday, there will be a joint session and deacons meeting at 6:30 p.m. in the fellowship hall. And I believe I'm told is Charles's 10-year anniversary with us today. Very fortunate to have Charles. Out here, you don't often see it, but he really doesn't need any music or a hymnal or anything else. He usually plays it by memory or by ear. Or he changes and composes as he plays, on purpose. And, we would get a song in, and it would say, composed and written by Charles Matthews, and he just dashes it off and prints it off. A man of immense talent, and we're lucky to have him. Okay. And Casey will now lead us in a responsive reading. Oh, I'm sorry, any other announcements? Sorry, I forgot that. Yes. Okay, are there any other announcements? Anybody else? Yes.
We're just going to take that question. Leah's Love Box it's been somewhat of a struggle filling the items that we need in order to support our community. I have placed the Sign Up Genius on next door, and I'll have it in the communicator as well, for someone to volunteer to take it on for a month. I recently just had someone through the next door, which is like a community discussion site, and she has adopted it till December 15th in honor of her daughter who passed. So you can do it in memory or in honor of someone, or just do it because, you know, we're helping the community. So I just wanted to make that announcement and let you know that it's been taken care of for the month of from now until December 15th in honor of her daughter who passed.
Anything else? Okay, now Casey will lead us in our responsive reading from the book of Psalms.
Good morning. Today's psalm will be in Psalm 33, 6 through 9, page 549 in your Pew Bible. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the people of the world revere him.
For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm.
This is the word of God from the people of God.
If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Often throughout our days, we work, we try, we have routines, we forget to come to God and admit our sins, to think about who we are and who He is, and to keep ourselves in relationship to Him. Join me as we admit our sin. Father, we admit that we want our own way. We forget that we belong to you, that we are not our own. Forgive us when we go our own way and do not follow your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. The process of baptism is a process of renewal. It signifies a change, that we're a new people, and we are the sons and daughters of Christ. Receive assurance that as a son or a daughter of God, a son and daughter of Christ, that life is renewed and that you are not your own, you are not alone. And now join me as we affirm our faith by reading the Apostles' Creed on page 35 in the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Sings my soul, my
The word shalom means peace. And Christ said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. So let us now share that kind of peace with each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Also with you.
It's all written in the
Bible.
Our Old Testament scripture comes from Genesis today, Genesis 1, verse 27, and Genesis 2, verse 7. These scriptures are from God's creation. I'm going to be reading from my Bible, the Contemporary English Version. You may follow along using the Pew Bible if you like, and it's on page 2. So God created humans to be like himself. He made men and women. The Lord God took a handful of soil and made a man. God breathed life into the man, and the man started breathing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now would our children and youth come forward?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. We have to do some yoga, I think. We have fun with that.
We did that last Sunday.
Do you think yoga would be a good tradition right now?
Yes.
No. We're going to talk today.
Help your muscles so you can get more presence.
That's
so
true.
Do more presence.
I'm going to show you something, and the word is called tradition. So can you tell me what that is? I'm showing up a picture.
It's a picture of last Christmas to show how every Christmas happens, so you remember how good it was.
Do you know who that is in the picture?
You and your brother.
How'd you know?
Because why would you have a picture of that?
Do I look like that now? I was 2 years old when this picture was taken, and today we're going to talk about tradition. It's black and white, but they did have color film back then in 1968. But this is a picture. This is a very, very important tradition. So we're going to talk about a tradition, and we're going to talk about a tradition in the Presbyterian faith as well as other churches. But in my family, this was so important. Do you see what's on the table beside me? It's what we call a creche, but it's a manger. It's a manger. And some of you might remember this, but do you remember back in the 60s when you used to buy soap or dish soap, and inside the box you would have a clay figure? It would be a Gabriel angel 1 week, Mary the next week, Jesus in a manger the next week. And so the whole idea was to keep buying these soap boxes, and you would get each piece. Well, we're short one wise man, so I'm always looking for one of the wise men. I never, in all these years, have found it.
Yeah. 40, so I think she was 20 years old.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about a tradition. Do you ever have a good idea? Have you ever had just like a really cool idea? There was a woman back in 1957, which was a little bit shy of this picture being taken. But in 1957, there was a woman in a Lutheran church, and her name was Miss Frances Kipp Spencer. And she had this idea. She said, you know, everything's so focused on Black Friday, shopping, gifts, Christmas, Santa Claus. She wanted a symbol that would bring the attention of the church and the church members back to Christ. And so she had this great idea. And so she combined Christ and into a Christmas tree, which we have over here. It's called a Chrismon tree. Can you say that word? Chrismon tree.
Which we did.
Yeah, and what that means, it's a combination of Christ and monogram. It means Christ symbols. And what she wanted was a special tree in the church sanctuary during Advent. She wanted people to think of Christ, not of shopping and stress and the list of things and worry. She wanted a special message to everybody that would focus on the Christian faith, kind of like a tree of life, a tree of, for Jesus and his message, and have it be the true meaning. And what color is the tree?
Green.
Well, green, that's true. And let me rephrase that. Is what color are the decorations?
It's white and gold.
Yeah. And those are, right, and those are the colors of the Christmas tree. And the Christmas trees are always white, and that symbolizes the purity, glory, and majesty of Jesus. But you also see the symbols are the same in each church, and they're usually monogrammed, or they're in white, gold, or silver. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask for help to decorate the Christmas tree. And we're going to talk about some of the symbols and what they mean. Did you have a question?
No.
All right. I'm going to grab one.
I had something to say about it.
Okay. Hold on just one moment.
Wait one second.
What is this?
A lamb.
A lamb. And what do you think this means?
It's from the story Mary and the Lamb.
Ah. And what is Jesus sometimes called?
The Lamb of God. The Holy Lamb.
Do you want to put that up, Aiden? All right. Let's grab another one. The girls will like this one.
Me.
All right. This is my favorite one.
Yeah.
What is that?
A butterfly.
And what do you think that means? It means like transformation. It's like a butterfly transforms from a caterpillar into a beautiful thing. And that's what Jesus does to us all. So... do you want to put those on? There we go.
Yay.
All right. And we'll do one more, and then you can help decorate the tree. We'll do animals. What is this?
A dove.
A dove. And what do you think the dove symbolizes?
A message of hope.
It does.
A message of hope?
It does. The dove symbolizes hope and peace throughout the world. You want to put that up, Luke? Okay. So let's say a prayer, and then we'll decorate the rest of the tree while Charles plays the song. Dear God, thank you for Christmas trees.
Thank you for Christmas trees.
It's a reminder,
that Jesus
is the reason,
for the season.
In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Good job, guys. What did you have?
The white and gold means, like, the white means God, because God is in heaven, and which I think heaven would be is white for all the angels.
Aw, that's a good.
And the gold stands for how God symbolizes us as money. He thinks we're expensive.
We're the treasures. We're the treasure. We're the God's treasure. I like that. All right, let's help decorate. Thank you, everybody.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 36, be found on page 1122 in your pew Bible. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I think the last time I was here, I talked about creation and how that hopefully convinced you that the smart money in Vegas is on creation, because everything is so complex and so interdependent and so interwoven that it couldn't exist of and in of itself, or couldn't exist on its own. That there has to be a creator or something that existed before us, before the universe and the world, the animals and ourselves. Or as we often say, to sum it all up, creation existed. There had to be a creator. That something can't come out of nothing. And today I want to talk about the implications for us of what that means. Symbols are interesting. The Chrismon tree, the symbols remind us of things. And as it does, real estate reminds me of Christ. As many recently had known, we sold our house. And in the process of doing this, we put our house on the market. Several of you here are real estate agents, and I'm sure many of you have sold the house. And then while your house is on the market, you look for another house. And almost immediately, we found one that we liked. And our house, if I'm correct, was not exactly, wasn't even ready to be on the market yet. And of course, we couldn't afford to just buy the other house outright without selling our house. So we put down what's called a contingent offer on the second house. And I started thinking about what the word contingent means. Contingent is defined in the dictionary as something that is dependent upon or occurring or existing only if certain things happen prior to that. In other words, as happened, we cannot buy the second house unless or until we sold our first house. Or as a lot of the attorneys I used to deal with said, most important, two of the most important words in a legal document or in a trial could be but for. But for that process, we would not have been able to buy the second house, but for the fact that we sold the first house. And as you can tell, we're still in the process of moving because I'm dressed a bit more casually today than I normally would be. I know where my dress clothes are in general, but not specifically. They're either in the garage in the house or still in that storage building we still have over in Huntersville. Hopefully the last time I talked to you, you realize that we're not accidents. And if we're not accidents and then we're not created, that we depend on something else, then we are contingent. We are contingent beings. Our existence, our lives, all that we are, depend upon the prior existence of something else. We flow out of God. As the scripture said, we are by, to, and for God. Without him, we would not exist, and we exist through him, from him, and for him. What does it mean for us to be contingent? Another scripture says, without him, we would not exist, for through him, all things were made. We did not create ourselves. When we talk about creation, what do we often say when we call someone a creator? Whether someone has written something or built something, built a business, built a house, built a car, you write a document, you create a work of art, you're the creator. And we view that thing as belonging to us. It did not exist except that we created it. It did not exist without us. And in some senses, you can say we own the thing that we created. We don't just say the statue of David or the painting of the Mona Lisa. We say Michelangelo's
David, or Da Vinci's Mona Lisa, or you could say Bill Gates' Microsoft. All these things were created by and belong to that person, and we refer to it by the person often that created it, especially if it's something really good and really famous. We are that to God. We don't like to use that word, own, because it has negative connotations in modern society. Sometimes we think of slavery, but slavery is the norm throughout Scripture and throughout human history. And Paul even refers to himself as a slave to Christ. What he meant was that he was owned by Christ or owned by God. In relation to other human beings, now in modern times we understand that no other human being can own us, but that doesn't mean still that God doesn't own us because he created us. Other human beings did not create us. They subvert the natural order through force and try to own someone. The natural order is we are owned by God and not human beings. And that's a difficult thing to accept, really, because we want to be independent. We want to say, nobody owns me, and I direct my life, and I do what I want, and I make my own decisions. And we do, in relation to other people, perhaps, but not in relation to God. Let's see. And my computer's also packed away somewhere, so I have my handwritten notes. My wife said, can you read that? Because that is kind of a problem, even with my own handwriting. So I tried to write really slowly. And when we think of creation, and we say created, we often don't think of ourselves. We think, oh, that's everything else. If that's created, that tree is created, and that field's created, and that dog is created. But we don't call ourselves part of creation. We are a special part of it, and we are closely in relation to God, but we are still a part of creation. This brings about certain obligations for us. If we are created, we come by, through, and for God, then we should be living for God or as God would want us to live. And in a certain sense, you can say we should try to read the instruction manual first instead of, you know, when we put things together, you know, read the directions as a last resort, read the directions as a first resort and try to follow the manual in the way that we live. We are created for God to do his works, and also to be in relationship with God. Not the kind of relationship we often use in modern terms and legal terms, such as a partnership. It's not an equal partnership. It's a different kind of relationship. But there's no getting around the fact that really in modern terms, when we think about it, and I'm guilty of this too, we don't understand and don't really get into the depth of what it means to belong to God and to be owned by God and to be God's work. If we are contingent beings, as it says in Genesis, our very breath belongs to God. Our very parts, our very life is a piece of God. God breathed into us. We're not just random, something slapped together. We literally have, by being alive, the breath of God that was breathed into us and passed down throughout the generations. So we are a part of him. And it should identify ourselves as created beings and as part of God's creation. And to function as we should, we need to be in relationship with God. And what does this mean? This is something that I have to work on, and you work on throughout your lives. But you know, read the Scripture. Study God's Word. Listen to others. Study the world. Look at what people do. Look at the events that happen in your life through a different lens. As if look at through the lens, not of random chance or happening, but through the lens that God would have you to see it through. Look through the eyes of partnership with Christ. And you'd be amazed that once you start looking at even small things, that the odds of some things being coincidental are just astronomical. You can see God begin to work in your life. And when we think that we're in partnership and we want to do things for God, often we get caught up in saying, I want to do this huge thing. I want to, you know, 20,000 people in a church. I want to, you know, win the Coca-Cola 500. I'm going to do all these massive, great, big, famous things. But most of the time, that's not how God works. And most of the work that is done by God's people often is not heard out of a local area. and not as noticeable unless you know what to look for. God works sometimes in very small ways. So when you consider yourself as a part of God, don't be disappointed. Don't think, well, I'm not the CEO of this or the president of that. Everything that you would do in partnership with God and as part of God's creation is important. All of God's work is important. I don't think he looks at one piece as any lesser than another piece. And it's a vast and complex plan. And even a small part is important. There is an old children's poem that people used to learn that I think thought gave a good explanation for this or illustrates this well. I don't know, I'll give you the historical context. There was a famous battle a long time ago in England in which Richard III was defeated in battle and conquered and eventually killed through, legend has it, a small mistake. He lost everything. He was a mounted knight who rode a horse into battle. And as the story goes, his horse threw its shoe, threw him. He went to the ground. And when you're a dismounted knight, you're not in a very good position. And he lost the battle. He lost the battle and he lost the kingdom. And the poem goes like this. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. So when you look at yourself as part of creation, look at the incredible complexity and majesty of it all and how it all works with all the parts. And don't look at your part as anything that's any smaller, any lesser. Sometimes that little nail, you can't see it, but God sees it and knows it's important. So remember, as a contingent being by, of, and for God, we all have a part to play in relationship with God. We are part of God, and we come from God. And whether you are the nail, the shoe, the horse, or the rider, you are still a very important part of God's creation and a part of his work. And just while I'm up here, I just want to say that I hope that the church, I guess it's known now that a new minister is coming, or a new pastor is coming. Sorry if I said that prematurely. So that I hope that the church does well and grows and is the beacon of hope and goodwill and joy that I know that it can be in this area. And when people come and see this church when they drive by or come in, that they're reminded of Christ and the love of Christ. And there's so many people here who do so many things. So many nails and shoes and horses that are done here that you don't see and that the community doesn't always see. Hope that they come in and see what all is done here and become a part of it, and that everyone here in this church and organization remain and become a growing blessing to this community. And now we'll turn to the prayers of the people. Did anyone have any prayer concerns? Oh, great. Somebody can use that. You never know what kind of a blessing that'll be to someone's life. A little related story about small things. One time an elderly man came to my church, my father and some more outside, and had an old beaten up suitcase tied up with a string and everything. And he came up and he cried and he said, I just need to get on the bus and go see my brother before I die. And so my dad and my uncles put him in the car and took him over and got breakfast and put him on the bus. And heard back later, you know, how grateful he was. That's just a small thing, but you know, you can touch someone's life with small things like that. Any questions?
Pray is my husband's back home from the hospital, and it's going to be a little bit of a road. We're waiting for the back surgery to get rescheduled. But thank you for all your prayers. We're keeping good humor. It's come and go, but thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Here we go. have a praise.
Stand up.
Charles said stand up. I wasted an awful lot of energy for about 2 weeks worrying that whether I would get to go to Missouri to see Cody, my grandson, or not. And I should have just left it in God's hands because it happened. I found out Monday afternoon that I was leaving Tuesday morning. And 4 days, and got to hug Cody, and Cody asked for a group. It was a wonderful, wonderful, blessed time that I got to spend there with him. And thank you for all of you for your prayers, because God took care of it all.
Yes, ma'am.
My dog had cancer, and there was a first Thanksgiving
without. Oh, sorry. That's tough. And I have a praise. I think this moving process that we went through, one small miracle after another, made the process as easy as it probably could have been. Our house went on the market at night, sold the next morning. I didn't have to fix anything. We didn't have to paint. I was really worried, but I'd still be working on things. We found a house we liked right away, and we were able to put down an offer, move in. Thankfully, my son and my daughter's boyfriend showed up and unloaded the cargo container, which we would still be there, and I'd probably eaten a bottle of ibuprofen by now. And I needed a moving truck yesterday, and I had to bring it back in the morning, and there was none to be had. And I came back just before lunch, and the lady said, "Oh, you're in luck. Someone just took a different truck, and you can have this one until tomorrow." So I was able to get everything out of at least one storage room in one day. So thankful for all the miracles that made the transition easy. Now let's go in prayer to God. Lord, thank you for everything that you do for us, the big things and the small things. Give us the eyes to see who we are and to see these things and to work with you as we should as part of your creation. And remember that as your children, we have a job to do, and that no job is unimportant. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for Kevin healing and being home. Thank you for Beverly being able to travel. Thank you for helping us to transition and move. Thank you for all the blessings that may be unspoken. And thank you for all that you have done for us, and be with those who are grieving, and whether it's lost a pet or missing a loved one or going through some sort of distress during this season. Be with them all and comfort them and let them remember who you are and who they are. And now join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us receive.
Folks, today's Dan, Laura's, Manny's last official day with the Cook's Church. They've moved to Statesville. They'll be back time and again, but they won't be here regularly anymore. So thank you, Dan, for what you've done for the church.
FD stole my thunder. I want to say, Dan, how much we appreciate you. And I see that Laura's holding up the back wall up there. During our last Tim, Laura, come on down. Is that Annie up there? Annie, come on down. I want them to be at the front, not in the back or outside, to wit. And I know you'll want to show your appreciation for Dan and his family. Thank you, Dan. We love you. We did not give him permission to do this.
Thank you. Thank you. And now let's receive our tithes and offerings. Father, receive these gifts that we bring to you, and that we thank you for the gifts that you have given us. Lord, thank you for the guidance of your word. Thank you for the gift of life that you gave us. Thank you that we do not have to make our decisions alone. Thank you that we are part of your creation and your plans. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.